This coming Sunday, a week from today, we'll be having the Feast of the Purification, Candlemas. And Candlemas officially ends the Christmas season. You might wonder, the Christmas trees are still up. Well, we celebrate Christmas all the way to Candlemas. The Christmas trees sometimes go down, sometimes go up, and what is the rule of thumb? If I reached over to this Christmas tree and bent it, it snaps off, it's ready to go out, because it'd be a danger, a fire danger. But Brother Xavier's been watering the trees pretty good this year. So when you bend them, they're still, you know, bendable and not going to catch on fire. But I think they're getting poorly much to the point where we're going to have to take them out. So what is Candlemas? What is the Feast of the Purification, which ends Christmas season? We remember how the Blessed Virgin Mary presented Jesus, the Christ child, in the temple 40 days, 40 days after his birth. And what was the ceremony? Why was there a ceremony in the Old Testament? Where did the ceremony come from? Well, very simply, as we all know, reading the Old Testament, reading the Bible, God's chosen people, the Israelites, were slaves to the Egyptians. And the Israelites cried to God to deliver them from slavery. And God raised up Moses to lead his people out of slavery. God spoke to Moses and said, "Go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go." And there were 10 plagues that God hammered the Egyptians. The final plague, the final stroke, was that God was going to kill the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, from Pharaoh all the way to the least man of the Egyptians. He was going to send the angel of death over the land of Egypt. But the Israelites were going to be spared. But they had to do something very unique. They had to take a lamb without blemish, a male, a young lamb without blemish, offered to God in sacrifice. And then they were to take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorpost. So when God sent the angel of death over the land of Egypt, he would pass over the houses of the Israelites. That's how the Jews got their feast of their Passover. Now the interesting thing is this. God told Moses, from here on, the firstborn sons of every family are special. And in remembrance of how God delivered them from being struck dead, they were to be, on the 40th day after their birth, presented in the temple. We've talked about this so often in the past, but indeed, Jesus was the true Lamb of God. That is the reason why, although above the cross, above the altar, we have Jesus hanging on the cross, at the foot of the altar, on the very face of the altar, we have the Lamb of God. Because indeed, Jesus was that Lamb who suffered and sacrificed for us. In fact, Christ's death on the cross at the time of the Passover, while the lambs were being offered and sacrificed, Jesus, the true Lamb, at the same time was being offered on the cross. So we celebrate how the Blessed Virgin Mary presented Jesus in the temple as it was prescribed by the law of Moses. Now the interesting thing about the presentation in the temple is this. There was a holy man living at that time named Simeon. He had prayed all his life that he would get to see the Messiah, the Son of God, the Redeemer. And the very moment that Simeon goes to the temple, Joseph and Mary are bringing in the Christ child, and God inspired him to know this is the Messiah. And he took the infant Jesus in his arms, and he blessed God, saying, Now that you can dismiss your servant, I see my salvation. But you know, Holy Simeon, he also prophesied pertaining to Jesus. He said, this child is destined for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and for a sign that should be contradicted. What is that sign that should be contradicted. Now, thinking about it, when we think of Jesus, we always think synonymously in the sign of the cross. In the time of Christ, the cross was a symbol of execution, a symbol of putting to death the worst of criminals by the Romans. People would shudder to think of a human being nailed to the cross and hanging there and bleeding out and dying a terrible, cruel, humiliating death, stripped of their garments. That ignominious and odious sign of the cross, because of Christ's death on the cross, and by his sacrifice has redeemed us, opened the gates of heaven, that sign of the cross has now become a glorious sign. As you travel anywhere and you see a church with the cross on high, it is a symbol of God, a symbol of religion. How wonderfully the church incorporates the sign of our salvation and the ceremonies of the sacraments. When a baby is baptized, or a child or an adult is baptized, the water is poured in the form of the cross. Ego te baptizo, in nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. When you go to confession, the priest representing Jesus forgives sins, and while you're telling God your story for your sins, the priest says, Ego te absolvo peccati suis, and makes a sign of the cross. When you receive Holy Communion, the sign of the cross. We just came back yesterday, last night late, we left in the morning, came back in the evening from Houston, Texas. Had confirmations down there, Mass at noon, followed by confirmations, short receptions, and all the people, and then hightail it out there. When we gave confirmation, we anoint the forehead with the chrism, the sign of the cross. When someone gets extreme unction, they're dying, they're in danger of death, we anoint with holy oil, the oil of the infirm, the senses in the sign of the cross, the sign of our salvation. Next Sunday we will also, and this is done traditionally, we have the blessing of candles. Why are the blessing of candles done on purification day or Candlemas? It's because the candle is a symbol of Jesus Christ. The candle is a symbol of Christ because Christ was the light of the world. The world sat in darkness. Man did not know his true reason why he was here. When the fullness of time came, God revealed through his own Son man's purpose and man's way to eternal salvation and happiness. So our Lord is that symbol. The candle is the symbol of Christ, the light of the world. And I would like to just exhort all of you, as we wrap up the Christmas season, to remember as we think of Christ, the light of the world, let us remember Christ's words, not only to his apostles and disciples 2,000 years ago, but to us. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel? No, they put it up high in a home to let the light shine throughout the house. He said, so let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. My dear friends, we, as followers of Christ, have to be that good example, that light of the world. Jesus also said to his apostles and disciples, you are the salt of the earth. How wonderfully salt has so many purposes. It preserves food. It seasons food. It gives food a better taste. Many, many things salt has. And our Lord wants us to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And that is what he expects of all of us. What a tragedy would be if the name, say I'm a Catholic, I'm a follower of Christ, but it doesn't translate into our daily life. And as we've said so often, being the light of the world, that we need to be, it's especially in the area of charity. Charity. It's amazing the power of charity. Now in the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, he talks about how if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. as by so doing you heap coals of fire on your head. When your enemy doesn't like you and treats you poorly and speaks bad about you, and you are nice in return, not that you do it to aggravate them, but it does aggravate them. It does aggravate them. I'll never forget the story I heard about this woman. She was in the Eastern European country. And she said they were right in the middle of World War II. She said that the Germans came in and treated them very poorly. Then the communist Russians came in and they were most cruel. And she tells a story about she and a bunch of other nurses, women, were in this barrack. And she said, the communists not believing in God, the Russians were very, very cruel. There was one soldier guard that they called the monster. He just loved smacking women around and kicking them. I mean, he just, that gave them such satisfaction. Whenever he came into the barrack, they just cowered away from him. They knew what was going to come. But one day, this woman's relating, she's an elderly woman, she was relating how she had her back to the door. She didn't know if he was coming in. And as the other women started to cower away, she didn't see him. And he, with a blow, knocked her to the ground. And he started kicking her, repeatedly kicking her on the ground. And before she went unconscious, she looked up at him, right in his eyes, and said, whispered, I forgive you. That boggled that communist soldier's mind. So the woman went unconscious. The soldier left, ashamed. And about 2 days later, when this woman started regaining consciousness again, they were giving her food and hot drink, and she had blankets, things that they didn't have before. And she was trying to recall what happened. And they said that she got knocked down by the monster. But they said something totally, totally unexpected is happening. And she said, what? He says, the guard that we call the monster, he comes in regularly asking if you're going to be okay. And he asked also if he could talk to you, if he could just talk to you if you come conscious again. And she's saying, is this for real? They said, it's for real. And a soldier told him, or he spoke to her and said, when he did, when she was awake, he said, I want you to try to explain to me, why is it that you said, I forgive you? I mean, what is all about? Why would you do that when I'm treating you so cruelly? Where did that come from? She said, well, I believe in God. And the soldier said, I don't know anything about God. I've never been told about God. But what I saw in your face when you said, forgive me, was something beyond human. It was something that the courage, the fortitude, the strength made me feel like a coward. He said, would you teach me about God? And that soldier, communist soldier, was baptized secretly in that concentration camp. The power of forgiveness, the power of charity. And that's where our Lord's philosophy, our Lord's teaching, our Lord's theology is far above any words of wisdom of some smart man. Our Lord went beyond. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt, hate you, and persecute you. Because then it's supernatural, we're doing it for God. So as we think of, as we're in the world, let us be that light of the world. And as we're that light of the world, try to be a good example, especially as we've said so often in the past, let us be noted for our charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.